I am Luke Townsend. I am a leading seaman musician in the Royal Australian Navy Band, South Australian Detachment. I've been in the band for 24 years.
You don't look old enough to have been in the Navy Band for 24 years,
well,
Luke.
Well, thanks, Helen, but actually I joined pretty much when I was old enough, when I turned 17, so I took the opportunity as soon as I was able to join the band.
And is that the minimum recruitment age for?
It certainly was then. I believe it probably hasn't changed and is probably still the same age.
Right. Yes. And what sort of qualification did you have to have in order to join the band?
Well, at the time, and I believe now, there's no specific qualifications to become a musician within the Navy. I think it probably worked in my favour that I was studying music at the time. So it proved that I was very keen to follow a career path in music, which probably worked in my favour when I did go through the audition process. But there's no specific qualifications that are required.
And where did that interest in music stem from?
I always had a lot of music around as a child. My father was in radio and played a lot of music as well around the house. And it was just something when I was about, I think, 9 or 10, it became my favourite subject at school. It was what I wanted to do when I was outside of school. Started off on the recorder. And then from there, I learned piano for a little while, and it wasn't long before I found myself playing a woodwind instrument. And the rest is history, really. I've been playing the saxophone since I was about 10 years old.
We had Vashti Tyrrell in here the other day, and as you know, also plays the saxophone.
Absolutely.
And it's an incredible instrument. Incredible.
It really is. And I think it was the versatility of the instrument that attracted me at an early age. You can play rock, blues, jazz, classical music, almost anything with a saxophone.
Right, so your dad's interest in music didn't sort of channel you into a specific genre of music?
Not necessarily. I think maybe it was just a bit more of a genetic passion for music so much, but the jazz thing came a bit later on when I was sort of approaching my teens. I just found that particular niche of music and was, attracted to that, and I got the bug, you could say, so...
What is it about music that it can calm us, it can excite us? We just love music generally. What is it about music, do you think, that captures us?
Well, it's great. I touched on the versatility before, but music offers, it can give you individual pleasure. It's something you can do on your own, but it's also something you can share with other people. You can also travel, and I've been lucky to have been overseas and around the country playing music with other people, and you don't even have to have known them very long to be able to sit down and make music with them. And it's, in that sense, it's a bit of a universal language. So it's a fantastic world to be a part of, really.
Right. Well, harking back to those early days when you were joining up, what was it that encouraged you to join the Navy? How did you find out about it?
Well, actually, Helen, I think the story goes that my mother at the time found a newspaper clip. This is in the day they used to advertise for jobs in the newspaper. And she said, have a look at this, because as you know, it can be difficult to find work. For all the great musicians out there, there's only a fraction of that actual work available to be actually able to perform. So here was an opportunity to go and rehearse with a band and perform and get paid while doing it as well. So I seized the opportunity and went in, had a look at the band for a couple of weeks, and then went through the audition process.
And where were you doing your study?
At Adelaide University.
Good old Adelaide Uni. They push out some really great musicians, don't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's a really, really strong culture there and has been for quite some time, with musicians coming out of high school and college and going through that program. So quite a few of the people that have been through our band in the past have actually been fellow students, and that's how the word of mouth has spread in the past as well.
Right. So once you joined the Navy, was that as a reservist or as a full-time naval musician?
So it was as a reservist. So it is a reserve band. The only full-time members of the band are the Chief Petty Officer, who is the bandmaster, and has an assistant as well who works full-time. So the rest of us are reservists.
So that enabled you to continue your studies then?
Absolutely.
And did you work as well?
I was working. I was doing a little bit of, I think, a night fill at the supermarket as well to try and get through those university years. So it did help. It's not, put it this way. So the contracts can be anywhere from, I think, around 20 days, 25 days, up to about 50 days a year. So it's a great part-time job, but sometimes you might need a little extra as well to get through. So,
do you work in civilian life as a musician as well?
I don't. I work full-time at Bunnings at the moment. So therein, I find a bit of balance. I go and help people and work in the home improvement industry during the day, and then go and do music on weekends and at night during the week. So it's a really nice balance.
Look, what a great life it is! What versatility! Now, do you play other instruments as well as the saxophone?
Well, interesting you should ask that, Helen. I do dabble in what we call the woodwinds. So I have picked up a clarinet from time to time. It's a funny one, actually, that people that sometimes pick up clarinet first as a child and then move to saxophone can sometimes end up being quite skilled at both. But having to translate back to a clarinet as an adult poses some difficulties with learning. So I can play it. It's not at the level of my saxophone playing. And I also play the flute as well. So, but again, probably just the basics.
Oh, so. Three great instruments. How long does it take for a person to become proficient on, say, the saxophone?
I would say a few years, a good 5 or 6 years, but it depends on the application of the individual as well. And there's some people that, you know, in 3 or 4 years can really get themselves to a level where they can play quite comprehensively on an instrument. But I guess in most cases, it's probably a good 6, 7, or 8 years.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time, isn't it?
It is.
But it's sort of like a continuous circle of learning.
Mm, absolutely. But I guess in that respect, it's like any other profession, really. You want to get to a certain level.
Right. We'll talk about your particular saxophone. What brand is it?
Okay, so I've got a saxophone. I've got a Yamaha saxophone that I think I've had for about, well, it would be close to 25 years, I'd say. I got that when I was going through high school. It's a professional level saxophone, which has played quite a bit over the years, so it is getting a bit old. The upkeep on the instruments can be quite expensive as well, so services and overhauls and pad maintenance and things like that, they require a fair bit of upkeep, which is where the Navy's good as well, because we get supplied reeds and equipment that we ordinarily would have to pay for. That's really good as well. We also get provided saxophones and woodwind instruments as well to play while we're in the Navy.
Well, that's not too bad at all then,
No,
isn't
it's
it?
Really good.
Not too bad at all. Now, there are varying types of saxophones. As I explained earlier, I know nothing about music. But looking at various tunes, I see there's alto saxophones, tenor sax. How does that differentiate? What sort of grades are there within the world of saxophones?
Well, Helen, the alto and the tenor, the ones you mentioned, are by far the most popular. The tenor probably being the most popular. It's most featured in popular music and just as predominant in jazz music as the alto. And then the lesser known ones, the soprano sax, the straight one, which people, if I said Kenny G, they would know who I was talking about. And then the baritone, which is a bigger one. And if I said Lisa Simpson, people would know who I was talking about with that particular one. But most people would find themselves either playing alto or tenor. Obviously a big band, such as we break into a big band within the Navy, would require pretty much all those saxophones and several of some of them as well to get that complete sort of choir, if you will, voicing sound across the instrument range.
Is there any saxophone player that you would give your eye teeth to go and see?
Oh, there's quite a few, actually. I'm, quite keen on probably 100 sax players around. So because I've been listening to them for so long, I've gathered quite the repertoire of heroes as far as saxophonists go.
Great. Mm. Now, you mentioned the rest of the band members there.
Mm.
How often do you actually meet all of them? Because when you have a gig, I understand from Vashti that when you have a gig, it depends on what type of gig it is you're going to. It doesn't always require all of the band members.
Absolutely. So our most common performances would either be ceremonial and marching performances, whereby we're performing at a freedom of entry or some sort of ceremonial occasion, and in which case that would mostly feature whoever's available to make it, because we all fundamentally play in the ceremonial band. Is that first and foremost, that's our primary role within the Navy band. From there, we break down into rock group, big band, jazz group, and that might only feature maybe 50% of the group. For instance, one trumpet out of the four trumpet players. But we all meet up every Tuesday to rehearse and work out whatever performances we've got coming up, which have been a bit scarce this year. But ordinarily, we're quite busy, and we would have 3 or 4 performances at any one time to be working towards. So in the space of 3 hours on a given Tuesday night, we would be trying to brush up on making sure those performances are all well honed for when they come about. So,
and do they often throw music at you to play that you've never played before that you think, ooh, how am I going to learn that in a week?
Every now and then, it doesn't come up so much these days. We've got a couple of band members that are quite prolific arrangers. So they will find popular charts and then rewrite them so that they're available for the lineup of musicians we have in our band. So they'll bring those charts in on a Tuesday night as well, and we'll sight read those and decide yay or nay if we're going to perform those. But a lot of the ceremonial stuff we've been doing for year upon year, it's the same traditional orchestration. So a lot of them we can actually play without the music. So there's a bit from both.
Look, I envy you your ability to play any musical instrument, but to be that versatile that you could pick up a tune so quickly, it's just amazing to me. Now, as a musician, you are part of the military. How have you adapted to your place within the military?
Yes, that's correct. Helen, we have to enlist within the Royal Australian Navy in order to be able to play in the band. There's certain areas of adjustment required. At the same time, it is a branch of the military that's a little bit different to some of the other ones. We're not trained to engage in warfare. We're not trained to operate radios, or we're not radio signalling codes and things like that. So we're basically, our role within the military is in PR. We're out in the public. We're playing our instruments. We're performing at these ceremonies. And we're presenting a good, strong image for the Navy, and also trying to entice any new recruits to say we're always out there as well and available to have a chat with anyone who might be interested in a career in the Defence Force. And we're basically there to say, yeah, it's fantastic. So a lot of the regimental side of things, yes, we parade and we present in our uniforms all neatly ironed, and we march in file and come to the attention and all that. But there's probably a whole world of the military that we don't so much engage in as much. So
let's look at one of the gigs that you've done recently and one of the marches, one of the parades that you've done recently. What springs to mind?
The Christmas pageant probably is the biggest one that does spring to mind when we talk about the marches, just through sheer weight of numbers and the eyes, just the impact we can have on the public. It's actually the largest Christmas pageant in the Southern Hemisphere, from what I believe. We start on South Terrace. When you're around that corner and just see the crowds, and everyone's just clapping and cheering, and it really gets you. So it's an absolutely amazing experience to be able to be a part of. And that's when you really appreciate how unique it is to be able to do the job and be out there.
Mm. And of course, then there's Remembrance Day and Anzac Day. You also participate in them?
We do, actually. We've got Remembrance Day coming up. Anzac Day is a big one every year for us. We perform at the dawn service. And then obviously we go on to do the march in the city as well. So, yeah, that's a great day also to put the uniform on and be a part of the Navy and the military in general. And the appreciation that comes just from the members of the public is quite humbling. People will come up to you and just thank you. And it's quite moving. And like I said, yeah, it's a humbling experience and, yeah, really worth it.
If you had the time to learn another instrument, what would you choose? And would you choose another instrument to learn?
The thing about playing music is that you have a certain level of attraction to all the instruments. So to pick one, I'm put on the spot a bit. I'd love to be able to play the drums. That would be great. But yeah, it's something completely different, maybe drums or guitar, something up the other end. It might not be another blowing instrument like a brass or woodwind instrument, but maybe something completely different. I think drums would be pretty good to learn.
Did you drive your parents mad when you were learning the saxophone at home when you were young?
I possibly did. If I did, they didn't say so. But I'm sure there would have been times when they might have been looking at their watches thinking, surely he's about to finish. I did practice a lot in my earlier years, sometimes 3 or 4 hours a day. Not so much these days, unfortunately. But
Well, that shows how much you love it, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Yeah. So. Has your interest in the Navy also engendered an interest by other of your family members?
You mean my immediate family, like my wife and kids?
Yep.
Not so much these days. They're pretty little. they do think it's pretty great that I put the uniform on and go off to Navy as well. So they're pretty proud of it. But at this stage, they're not really thinking about the career at the age they're at. But to give them a couple of years, and wouldn't surprise me if at least one of them would be interested in a military career. But
or take up a musical instrument.
Absolutely. They're already showing interest in music and sing a lot of songs, and they watch musicals on TV. And
you were recently awarded the Tasman Award. What is that about?
The Tasman Award, Helen, is an award, a Tasman Scheme Award, is for sailors who are considered worthy of further recognition beyond their normal duties and thereby become a recipient of the Tasman Scheme Award, which gives them the opportunity to travel across the Tasman and work with the New Zealand Navy for a period of time. So I was lucky to have received that award, quite thrilled actually, back in, I think it was February of this year, only to find out that it would be postponed until further notice. But the good news is it has not been cancelled, it has been postponed, so it still will be going ahead, hopefully earlier than later, because I really am looking forward to that, which will be just another great opportunity that I've had within my role.
What a fantastic award. Are you able to take your family with you?
I don't believe so, but it might be something I'll look into.
So, New Zealand, beautiful place.
It is. I was actually born there, Helen. So, in fact, the only reason I had to get my Australian citizenship was when I turned 17 and wanted to join the Royal Australian Navy. So that was my reason for becoming an Australian citizen.
Well, lucky us. We won that one. Where do you see your Navy career going? What would you like to see it develop into?
Well, at the moment with the band, we're continually looking for new recruits and new talent to come in. And obviously this year the workload's been down, but we would anticipate that next year it would be back to where it usually is. And we're always looking for commitment for people to come along and play with us as well. So just trying to get the standard even higher with the band and just the enjoyment levels. Just a continuation, really. It's been great, so I wouldn't have changed a thing from the past. So hopefully the future can be similar.
And how many people can say that about their job?
Not many, I imagine.
Not many at all. Not enough, that's
no,
for sure.
No, it is good, so.
Yeah. Luke, what's been one of your most memorable events that you've participated in with the Navy?
Well, Helen, there's been so many over the years. You really accumulate a lot over 24 years. So I'll tell you about maybe one or two of the ones I've done recently. And I got a phone call, must have been in about September last year, from our bandmaster at the time, who said the Sydney Navy Band, I don't know if Vashti touched on the fact that sometimes we get the opportunity to go and play with the permanent Navy bands in the Melbourne and Sydney band, that they needed an alto sax player for the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo, which was to be held in Sydney in October of last year, which was to be the largest military tattoo in the world of its kind. And at the time, I was really busy at work. We had a lot of projects happening at work, and it was really short notice. I said, nah, probably not this time. But then I got off the phone, and I thought, you know what, this opportunity might not come up again. So I rang my boss at Bunnings, and he was fantastic. He just said, look, this is an opportunity. You have to take it. We'll make it work. So they were really supportive at work. And I rang my Navy boss back and said, yep, book me in. And it was great. It was just an amazing experience. There was marching bands from all over the world. I was there for 2 weeks. I was staying on an army base. And, yeah, it was just fantastic. And that's just one of the many experiences I've been lucky enough to have over the course of my career. The other one was some of the developmental courses that are available as well. So even though I've gone off and done the music degree, there's also internal courses as well. So one I did over the last couple of years was called a group leaders course, where one learns how to basically lead the band in the various aspects. I learnt conducting, music score writing. There was presentation elements as well. And I did it via correspondence, so over a 9-month period. There is a Defence Force School of Music located, I believe, in Melbourne. However, being residing in Adelaide, I was able to do it via video recordings and email over a 9-month period, and it was really rewarding. I shortly followed that up with the Drum Majors course, which is when you see a military band performing on an occasion and you see who's up the front with the mace and the sash. That's what we refer to as the drum major. So I did that course to learn how to do that as well. So I've really enjoyed learning new skills. Even though I did study music, I'm learning music from a different angle within the military and getting paid to do it as well. So it's great.
Well, Luke, thank you very much for coming in today and talking with us about the Navy Band and your career.
Thank you, Helen.
Fascinating subject.
That's been great. Thank you very much.